السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you comfort with our salah, with our prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are muqeem as-salah, consistent in our maintenance and establish of the prayer, and from our children wa min dhurriyyati. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. We have a little bit under an hour left together, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to send His angels upon us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever people gather together for the specific purpose of the study of the words of Allah, Kitab Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels who traverse the earth looking for people who are in that noble pursuit. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. The angels, they descend with Allah's rahmah and sakina and tranquility, and that they are mentioned in the highest of places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to elevate myself and you with our love and our attachment to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we continue, I just wanted to mention that, you know, most people at this point, they begin to say, Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. There's so much we've learned about some of the things that we've known our whole life, and it's something that where you kind of brought these stories to life. And sometimes you'll get from some of my dear brothers, some of my dear sisters, they say, I wish I knew Arabic. If I knew Arabic, it would be easy. And I am here to tell you that the Quran was never meant to be self-evident on that level without an intentional study. You know, if you have any Arabic friends, I don't want you to embarrass them, but you can just turn to, you know, turn to an Egyptian and say, hey, you know, what is وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَ mean? He'll say, she'll say, يعني ممكن, perhaps, it could be وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى. I don't know. في تفسير, give me Ibn Kathir, right? The Quran, yes, of course there are in it words that everyone can understand. هَذَا كِتَاب نُور, yes. But the meaning of the Quran as a coherence, as a lifelong pursuit, was a study that was given the life of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to help us guide our way through it. Allah didn't send a book down from the heavens. Allah didn't write the verses of the Quran in the sky. You look up in the sky and say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. No. Allah sent you a man, a human being, like these men that we're discussing, who were sent to model the behavior of the Quran. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she's asked, she's the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You lived with him for so many years. Can you describe him? You want to know what he looked like? Yes, describe him. Radiallahu anha. كان القرآن يمشي بين الناس. He was a Quran that walked the earth amongst man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't ever have that false belief that just because someone speaks a colloquial modern Arabic, that means they have greater access to the meanings and the study of the Quran than you. La. It takes an insight and a desire. It's not a newspaper, you open it and read. And if you don't believe me, ask. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ. Person has known it for his whole life. But see, the shame isn't just about someone who doesn't know it from a linguistic perspective. I'm sure every single one of us in this room, since we were 6, 7, 8 years old, we know what Al-Adiyati Dabha is, memorized. We've memorized it in memory, wrote it in our heart, wrote learning. Don't we feel somewhat embarrassed that the simple verses that you recited maybe upstairs in your Dhuhr prayer, you didn't really ponder? Do you know the kind of quality that can be provided for your prayer if you know the meaning of Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar? You've had a tough day at work. The children were giving you a difficult time. It's Asr. You stand before Allah and you say, Allahu Akbar, and you come and you're going to choose which surah. I need relief. Yes. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Remember, I have given you an overwhelming abundance in life. Whatever difficulty you had, because at that moment they were ridiculing the Prophet ﷺ. They were sending young children with stones to pellet him. His young sons, Tayyib wa Tahir wa Abdullah, had passed away. And they would say to him, you are a person who is abtar. None of your children survived because you're a cursed man. And Allah sent him relief. When you're stressed, reflect upon the abundance. Abundance in this life, and there's more yet to come. There's a kawthar for you in this life, Ya Muhammad. But there's a river of blessing waiting for you. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Persevere through your prayer and sacrifice. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرِ. Remember, the one who seeks you harm and ridicule, the one who puts you down, the one who unjustly seeks to defeat you and obliterate you and to harm you, on account of your prayer and sacrifice, on account of the blessing I have promised you, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرِ. I will cause you to overwhelm them, to overcome them, to be safe from them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The shortest surah in the Quran, its flavor changes. The moment you think a little bit deeper about its context and meaning. And that has nothing to do with whether you are Arabi or Ajami. That has whether to do with your interest to know what the Quran is about. Sulaiman alayhi salam, it is said to us in the books of tafsir that that woman that was seen by Dawood alayhi salam, the general who was written to be married to her, was martyred. The dua of the prophets is strong. He was martyred. And Dawood married her, and from her came Sulaiman alayhi salam. This is some of the riwayat in our books of tafsir. Sulaiman, I've written under him, he's the environmentalist. Every time you hear the name Sulaiman in the Quran alayhi salam, he's talking to an animal, there's a bird, there's an ant, there's something that relates to the animate life that surrounds us, because umamun amthalukum, everything around us is a nation unlike unto you like yourselves. In this room, there's probably more ants than you and I seated. They communicate with sound, chemical signatures, chemical trails. They have a social order. Some of them are guardians, some of them are soldiers, some of them are workers, some of them are storers, some of them are diggers. And Allah, Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he has this chapter about the word of an ant. He writes 9 blessings, 9 functions of that one ayah in Surah An-Naml. He says, Allah says in the Quran, قَالَتْ نَمْلَة. One ant, meaning it has a purpose, it has a position to be the one ant to speak. قَالَتْ. Allah doesn't say it indicated, أَشَارَتْ. He says, قَالَتْ, it spoke in a way that is meaningful to those who can hear it. In a way that Sulaiman can understand it. قَالَتْ نَمْلَة. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلَ. It addressed other ants so it can recognize rank and structure amongst them. أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ. Hurry to your place of abode and comfort and rest and protection. لَيَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُ. Solomon, his Solomon and his troops. It doesn't just know who he is, but it knows his name. And doesn't just know who's with him, but knows their function. His junood. It doesn't say some ogres and men going to trample you. It refers to their duty and job. سُلَيْمَان وَجُنُودُ. That they follow him. May trample you underneath their feet, and it makes an excuse for you and I. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. But don't blame them, because I told you to run away. If they trample you, it's your fault, not theirs. An ant. Sulaiman was given a kingdom that no one was given like him. except our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the evidence for that is that one day as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his salah, he moved back and then he stood firm again and he reached out as if holding something that was combating him. And then the Prophet grew calm and released it. The Prophet ﷺ, after the prayer, they asked him, "We saw this movement of yours." And he said, "Ifrit from the jinn, one of the forms of jinn, there's different types of jinn. Of the strong types of jinn that fly is al-ifrit, it came with embers of flame seeking to distract me from my salah. So I held it and I nearly choked it. Had I not remembered the request of my brother Sulaiman that no one have that power over him. Although Allah's given it to me, I didn't use it," sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet ﷺ is that last brick of completion of the Prophets. No one exceeded him in the power that was given to him by Allah. So I released him for him never to return, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sulaiman commanded the wind, the birds, the trees, the jinn. They would build, they would dive, they would extract and do things under his command. But of the things that Sulaiman enjoyed the most was as-safiyatul jiyad. Allah describes it in Surah Sa'd. He used to love the galloping stallions, his horses. He used to have these horses that were so majestic, so swift. And Allah says that Sulaiman would stand near them and he would, you know, pat their mane. Allah mentions this in Surah Sa'd. And he would speak to them and whisper to them. And then he would send them out again. They would take a quick tawaf around. And they would go from one end of the field to the other. And Sulaiman was sitting there after Salatul Asr had come. And the people of Bani Israel, the two prayers that they were ordered to pray was the Fajr and the time of Asr till Maghrib. Two extremes of the day. And that's why our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he ascends, Musa says to him, "Qad jarraftu Bani Israel." Hey, even five is too much. I have Bani Israel. We have a tough time with the two that we have. Go back again. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "I have a shame between my... I'm not shameless. I cannot go back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Five, we can do it." Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as Sulaiman is sitting there after Asr, the sun is declining and descending. And he was distracted, alayhi salam, by the enjoyment of the rizq of Allah upon him. And nearly Maghrib entered, meaning he nearly missed his prayer. A prophet of Allah? And Sulaiman was so upset with himself, he said, "Rudduha. Take these horses away. I never want to see them again." And some riwayat said, even if you have to kill them. "Inni ahbabtu hubb al-khayr an dhikri rabbi." Because I have fallen into the error of loving the goodness Allah has blessed me with more than remembering to thank Him for it. Powerful lessons. I want you to think about what we value in life. You know, there's certain things that we love in life that sometimes we esteem them to such a degree that should only be reserved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hold on to, you might love your children to such a degree that if you to lose one of them, may Allah preserve all of our families, Ya Rabb. It would devastate you, it would hospitalize you, you would lose faith, you would find yourself weak. And that love therefore has become a pollution to your soul. It's unacceptable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, don't love anything that if it's taken away from you would destroy you in that sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from mankind who love things or people or yuhibbunahum kahubbillah, they love them, covet them, almost worship them in a way that it should only be reserved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walladhina amanu, juxtapose it with those who believe. In contrast are those who believe ashaddu hubban lillah, are those who have greater love for their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman speaks about love, loving things in life to a degree that it makes you forget the one who provided it subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't mistake me in thinking we should live poor or dress shabby or not drive a nice car or eat fine cuisine. The Prophet ﷺ, in an authentic hadith in Muslim, and I use the riwayah of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he said to the Sahaba one day that none shall enter paradise if in their heart there is arrogance, kibr, meaning none shall enter with the first group of people to enter Jannah with him ﷺ. So a wealthy man stood up and asked, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مِنَّا one of us, يُحِبَّ أَن تَكُونَ ثِيَابُهُ حَسَنًا. A wealthy person like me and like others, they want to wear fine tailor clothing. وَمَطْعَمَهُ حَسَنًا, they want to eat food that is fine cuisine. وَمَرْكَبَهُ حَسَنًا, they don't want to just ride any horse or any donkey, they want a nice stallion. They can afford it. It's not out of error. Is this going to keep me out of Jannah, preclude me from the mercy of Allah, that I've been blessed with these things? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahu Jameel, yuhibbul jamal. You misunderstood. Allah is the source of all beauty and finery in life. And He loves, yuhibbu an yara ni'amahu, athara ni'amahu ala ibadi. Allah loves to see the effect of the ni'mah He's given you, enjoyed by you. He wants you to enjoy what is good within means and reason. What's the balance? Al-kibr, this arrogance that I warn you of. Batarul haqq is that you reject truth on account of the one who carried it. What do you know? You're a young guy. Where did you study? Which madhab are you? Instead of listening to what was being said, is it truth or not? You measured the truth or not, whether you would accept it, by the person carrying it, how they were dressed, whether they were your older or younger, whether they're a Mawlana or not. You made an assessment that should not have restricted the truth from entering your heart on account of a critique that had no value in the measure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. That will keep you from Jannah. وَغَمْضُ النَّاسِ, and to look down upon the one who doesn't have what you have. You weren't educated where I'm educated. You're not in the same social level or in the same zip code or postal address where I live. You're from this place, I'm from this place. You're from this land, I'm from this land. You're from this school, I'm from this place. And you reject an individual on account of them not having what you believe should be a standard of equality with you, when the standard is the measure of taqwa. Inna akramakum, the most honored of you with Allah, atqakum. That is what will preclude you from Jannah. They don't dress the way I dress, they don't have the car that I drive, they don't have the same social structures that I do, they're not in the same affluent settings as me. What can I do? Why would I invite him to my house for iftar? No, I invite other people because we're the same. That beautiful man who stood next to you every night in Taraweeh, who wept with the Qur'an as you weep, you kept him out of your life maybe for the color of his skin, maybe he didn't graduate from where you did, maybe his job isn't as prestigious as yours, and you might let into your home, may Allah forgive us, may Allah forgive me. Those who don't stand in Taraweeh with us, and don't weep as we seek to weep with Allah, but we do it out of, well, it's, yani, he's, you know, we've known them for a long time, and you know in their life there is corruption, and you share your food with the sinner rather than the pious, and the Prophet ﷺ tells you the opposite. Sulaiman alayhi salam, his kingdom that he asked Allah for became the thing that he asks Allah to protect him from. Sulaiman, his dua to Allah, every prophet is giving one dua. He said, Rabbi habli hukman mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Give me a kingdom, no one can have the like of it after me. That same thing, he says, oh Allah, this has distracted me from your worship. Ponder, Abdullah, what distracts you from Allah? What has kept your heart away from Allah? How far are we in the pursuit of the dunya at the expense of the akhirah? The dunya is hulwatun khadra. The Prophet ﷺ says it's beautiful and it's green. It's something you should enjoy living. Don't ever think you shouldn't enjoy your life and enjoy the beauty of it and the sea and the birds and the trees and the forest and its wealth. But don't ever seek to attain it at the expense of the akhirah, at the expense of your salah, We learn that lesson from Sulaiman alayhi salam. Musa. Even the name Musa, it's like, whoa. The one drawn from water. We all know the story of Musa. We will focus on particular aspects of Musa alayhi salam. We're going to look at how Musa got married. It's amazing. You know, Musa killed a man. Allahu Akbar. He came to save a person who he thought was being preyed on, when in fact that person was the aggressor, was a deceiver. And when he pushed back a person off him to save a person's life, he was so powerful that when he came and pushed him, the other person fell down, died. They hit his head, died. Khalas. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. He shoved him. And the man died. It wasn't murder. It wasn't intentional. He wasn't out to kill someone. He was out to save someone. Yet he still said, هَذَا مِنْ عَمْلَ شَهَا. This is evil. The person who he saved began to leverage it against him. He said, listen, if you don't want me to tell people what you did, you got to do what I say. You see that person, go get money from him. Musa grabbed him and said, I'm not going to do anything like that. That's not who I am. So the man knows now that he won't get anything from Musa. He said, well, I'm going to destroy you. أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. You want to kill me the way you murdered that other person? The people heard it and carried it like a flame through the city. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. A man came, hurried from the far end of the city. إِنَّ الْمَلْأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ. The people are conspiring against you, Musa. فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Escape now while you can. I give you good advice. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He escaped the city in fear, looking over his shoulder in worry. And he made his way to Madian. Madian is what is now what we refer to as northern Saudi Arabia. See, may Allah bless you with Hajj and bless you with another Hajj if you've been. When you come to Mina, there's a masjid there, Masjid al-Khayf. In that masjid, there's the riwayah that the Prophet ﷺ said, 80 of the prophets of Allah prayed there. One of them was Musa alayhi salam. He made 10 Hajj with the people who he lived. And when he negotiated his marriage, they said, will you serve us and stay with us for ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجٍ وَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Will you stay with us for 8 Hajj pilgrimage cycles? And if you do 10, it will be kind from you. And we are not told what Musa responded to, but because he's Musa, we know it was 10. Alayhi salam. He comes out of the desert with nothing. He's a refugee who's homeless, no shelter, wanted. Egyptian army searching for him, seeking him out. And as he comes into the clearing, he sees two young ladies being pushed away from their well, their family well, and their flock being intentionally scattered into the desert. And the sun is now rising in the sky, and in the heat of the day, all those sheep and goats are going to die if they don't get their water, because people traveled nomadically from one well to the next. He sees these individuals harming these two ladies. So he walks to the women. He says, مَا خَطْبُكُمَا? What's the problem? قَالُوا لَا نُسْقِيَ حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءُ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. They said, we can't get in the middle of these men, these people. They keep scattering our sheep. They're abusing their place. It's not even their right to have this water before us. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. The next word is, it begins with fa, meaning immediately. He didn't ask them for anything. He didn't say, look, how about I feed your sheep and water them and you pay me? I have nothing. I just came out of the desert. And give me some clothes even. Didn't say anything. He just knew what to do. Now, this is a very important moment. These two young ladies, for the first time in their life, they see the difference between a male and a man. See, even today it's very confusing. Because sometimes you even see males, you're not sure if they're female.
It's just not forget men, right? See, there's a difference between the sex type being a male, ذكر. In the language of the Quran, الذكر والأنثى. There's ذكر and أنثى. There's a male and a female. But other than ذكر, there is رجل. Whenever Allah uses the word رجل, it comes with qualifications. الرجال قوامون على النساء. True men, not just males, men are قوامون, established, standing on their feet in the maintenance of their women. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Because Allah has put an authority on one to be commanded that they will be questioned about in their service of the other. Allah will never ask my wife, did you go out and earn an income to feed yourself and your children? But Allah will ask me, did you go out to work to feed your family? It's her haqq. It's my duty. From Allah, I have to be rajul, qawwamun, rijalun, sadaqu ma'ahadullaha alayh. True men are those who are truthful when they made a covenant and a promise to Allah. Rijalun, true men, la tulhihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillah. True men are not distracted by commerce, trade, and buying and selling from the dhikr of Allah. The two young ladies, they saw Musa and they said, MashaAllah, Musa. They ran home. Ya abati, look at the word, it's not baba. Ya abati, okay, khalas. Baba, I found him. Ya abati, istajir. We found a guy, khalas, I want him. But I can't tell you I want to marry him, so can you hire him to work for us, which means you better let me marry him, because how is he going to live amongst us? We're single women. La. Ya abati, istajir. It's a polite way of saying, I really want to marry him. He's a man, tall. The Prophet ﷺ describes Musa in the authentic hadith. Musa rajulun tawal. He's a man who is not tawil. Tawil in Arabic means tall. Tawal is double tall. So if you see a man, you say, oh, that guy's tall. Then you see Musa, you're like, tawal. He's a mountain of a man. Powerfully built. Black skin, dark. His hair was that of the wool that you would say, the wool on a sheep. That was the man that Allah chose to speak to without an angel in between. Baba, ya abati, I found him. And this is why it becomes very important to have a wali. You know, we don't do nikah unless there's a male representative. There has to be a father, a brother, an uncle. Sit down. Oh, you're going to put yourself in trouble. Sit. This is now where men need to talk with each other. Yes, yes, you like him? Okay. Sit. He sends the other one because he can't send that one. Musa. In the desert. No. You stay home. You're going to get yourself in trouble. He sends the sister. Go tell him, inna abi يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَنَا. Our father invites you so he can repay you for the kindness you showed us. Musa says, what are you talking about? I'm not walking back with you. What do you think I am? I'm a man. We don't stroll in the desert hand in hand. No, you go home, put a path for me, and I will follow. When I'm able, I will come. He passes the test. It's a big test. Father's wanting to see, who is this man? Who's this man who did so much service in the heat of the sun that even Allah says to us, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ. He worked until the sun was so high that the only thing he could do was retire under the shade of a tree and say, رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh my Lord, with all the blessing I've had in life, I find myself in need of you. I'm faqir, I have nothing. Who's this man who didn't ask you for anything? Who is he? I want to know. So Musa arrives. And the father, some of the commentators say it is Prophet Shu'aib, wallahu a'lam. There's no evidence for or against. He asks Musa a simple question. The same question that Musa asked the two women earlier. He said, hey, what's the problem? Ma khatbuk? He says to Musa, what happened to you? Where are you coming from? What's your story? And this is where the surah, Surah Al-Qasas, this moment gets its name. Allah says that Musa responded, فَلَمَّا قَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. It was a simple question. What's your story? Musa gave him his full story. Everything. See, if I came from Australia, may Allah protect me, Ya Rab, and I had done some crime there, and I want to get, you know, into life here, and I don't want anyone to know, and I've arrived here, and you come and you invite me to your home for tea, and you say, hey, what brings you here? I say, well, actually, I'm accused of murder. Don't worry, I didn't murder him, but I did kill him. I'm probably putting your family in danger. There's probably Egyptian army right now circling around trying to find me. It's probably not a good idea I'm sitting here and breaking bread with you. Musa told him the full story. You say, this is the nature of true men, the true prophets of Allah, and this is the lesson that we take. See, if you were to ask me, Akhi, what's in your hand? I'd say, Qalim, it's my pen. Put it back in my pocket. Allah asked Musa, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa, what's in your right hand? He doesn't just say it's a stick. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. It's my stick. And أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. I have to lean on it sometimes. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي. And I restrain my sheep with it. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. And many other uses that I use it for. Allahu Akbar. I didn't say to you, oh, this is my pen, I answer letters with it, I mark grades with it. I didn't tell you its functions, I just described it, it's a pen. Because our nature isn't one of full disclosure, we've lost that. The prophets of Allah had that. The first title given to Muhammad ﷺ, before messengership was delivered to him, before he was al-Amin, he was Sadiq. Full disclosure, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa gave him the whole story, everything.